This weekend's message is just one component of our consume journey, which is a little different from a regular Crossroads weekend series. During a journey, people in our community do some individual reflection through the week and meet with a small group to extend that learning. We dive a little deeper into the topic, meet new people, and have a lot of fun along the way. So if you're listening at home or in a car, consider downloading the Consume Journey Guide to work along with us during the week. It's available as a free PDF download at crossroads.net/consumed. And we challenge you to get into a small group for at least the duration of the Consume Journey to share your experiences and discuss the things you're learning. You can find a group and access other small group resources at crossroads.net.
I love that. Amazing and awesome. I just saw those kids walking in here. Where are those kids? I just saw them coming in. They're actually here this service. Where are you, kiddies? Where are you? They're in here somewhere. Yeah, they are. Let's give them a little applause for sharing their story. What we're doing right now, and kids, they were laughing not because you said anything that was actually funny. It was that we've all learned that the problems that we deal with are all the same problems. And so what's communicated through the eyes of a child and what they feel is oftentimes the way that those of us who are adults feel. It's just amped up because the numbers are bigger and the pressure might be a little bit larger. If you're newer today, welcome to Crossroads. You're coming at the very end of an all-church journey that we concluded. Every year we take a look at a topic, we dive into it and jump into it. And it has been an intense and intense and intense run. And so today, we're going to give you no new information. Today, we are going to decompress and debrief. No big challenges today. Nothing to really hammer you with. We're just going to sit and learn the things that we've learned. Just talk about them. We've learned that this is a good thing to do to decompress over the last several years when we've done this. So this is a moment of decompression, just revisiting things that we've already received. So just take a deep breath. All right, can I mellow out? Okay, just mellow. Whew, whew. You actually heard in that story, two people there just mentioned the T word, the tithe word. We're showing people who have been touched, and as you'll see throughout this message today, people are just talking about how that has impacted their life in one way, shape, or form. And what we're noticing is when God asks us to do something and we do get consumed with Him, there's a joy that transcends all understanding. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to basically have a little small group up here. We're all going to have a small group right in here right now and just learn from one another. It's going to be very organic. And God, I'm just asking that you would speak to all of us in a unique way right now. I'm asking that you would offer affirmation where the affirmation is due, and that you would offer comfort, and you'd offer also clarity. And wherever we are right now, having coming out of this consume journey, or if we're just here for the very first time and don't know you or just seeking you, we're asking to experience your joy. We want to remember the joy that you filled us with over these last several weeks.
If I had to come face to face with realizing just how consumed I am, He really wanted me to break free and have freedom. And I didn't understand that. I said, so what He did was He led me here. And He sat me in the middle of a very warm place and a nice soft place to land. And it's unfortunate that the entire church had to go through the Consume series just because of me. I've recently had a car repossessed where, if I can use modern slang, I kind of thought I had it going on because, it was a really cute car. And I look cute in it. But not making enough money. I was living well above my means. And it hurt really bad. And there was a lot of shame associated with it. Having a group to go through with has been a comforting experience for me. Because I think it was 2 weeks after the group started that I lost the car. And it was, wow, we're going to face how we deal with money. This is not funny. This is not funny when things are, that you think that you have it together and you realize that you don't. There was no one that stood up in the group and said, this is what you must do. There was no condemning voice. I guess we were all going through our stuff and we just, from week to week, laid our baggage on the table and actually opened it up and shared it with people. And there was no hurt. There was comfort there. It's amazing that he's gentle like that and not singling me out in a crowd and saying, little girl, get it all together. But he's saying, all of you, I want you free. And I want you to know that I'm totally consumed with you. So be totally consumed with me.
Great stuff. As we've been in these small groups, it's really helped us grow. It hasn't just been what's happened here in the stage or what's happened in Kids Club or CSM or the prayer experience or the homework or the small groups. It's the whole thing together. So just continue debriefing and celebrating, just being happy with the things that have happened, because it is awesome, awesome things. I want to bring up on stage a friend of mine who I was in a consume group with. Everyone welcome Susanna Croce.
Hey, everybody.
Now, they might remember you, Susanna, because you were the very first story we did 7 weeks ago with being on a clothing fast.
Yes, yes.
How old are these clothes right here?
Old enough. That's all you need
old
to know.
Old enough. Yeah.
It's been great. It's been 6 months, and I have to say that ever since sharing my story, I've had a humongous group of accountability. People are actually stopping me in public places and checking my bags to make sure that there are no clothes. I'm not kidding. And I just want everybody to know that there's nothing at Biggs that I would actually put on my body. So you can stop checking those bags. That is just groceries.
So to connect the dots, you said you shared part of your story. You decided to go on a year-long clothing fast.
Yes.
And then people who you've never met just saw that video weeks
yes.
ago
yeah.
come up to you and look inside your bags to make sure you're clean still.
Yes, it was awesome. It's funny because when I felt 6 months ago back in October, which is so interesting, and then all of a sudden this church goes on the consume journey, that I felt God was leading me to do that. I was so just taken back because I thought a year, well, I mean, come on, what, like 30 days would be a great thing. And so I could tell it wasn't for me. So I immediately ran to my husband, Michael, and I said, you're not going to believe this. I think God wants me to go on this clothing fest or gear fest, anything we do, skiing, climbing, whatever we do, not to buy stuff for it. And he's like, let's do it. He was totally supportive. So
now let's talk about this for a minute. Everyone's laughing.
I know. And you wonder why now. I mean, he was probably like, yes. But I do want to say it did give me an amazing gift of freedom. That is really the gift that's come out of it, and really understanding of living, being content with what I already have and being just satisfied with what I already have. So.
Now, we just did this joy song, and let's talk about joy for a moment, because I was in two consume groups, Libby and I were. One was with you all, and we noticed something happen in our group. I don't know if you guys noticed this in yours or not. Did you notice that when someone tended to share something they felt God was saying to them that was maybe a little difficult, did you find in your groups that people devalidated it? You might not even notice it. Here's what happened regularly in both groups. Someone like Susanna would say, well, I feel like I need to go for a year and not have any clothes or not buy new clothes. And someone would say, oh, that's a long time. For me, one of the things that I said was, I noticed in the consume journey that I tend to be consumed with fantasies about things that I want to buy. Like I like researching things, fantasizing about things, like examples like an iPhone or Under Armour workout gear.
There was that Amish hut.
The Amish hut, yeah. Buying an Amish hut and dropping it in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
And these are all things I've never done. You say, that's stupid. Bear with me, okay? These
it's
are all things that I haven't done.
There.
I haven't done yet.
Right.
But maybe I'll do, maybe I won't do, but I come to realize I end up not doing these things, but I have this fantasy and it sidetracks me from God. And then people would say, oh, well, don't you think it's good to have goals, though? Somebody else said, well, I don't really feel convicted. I'm not volunteering enough. And people would say to the group, oh, but you do volunteer. I just know it's this thing of people not wanting people to sense uncomfortability. And I loved your interpretation of why that is.
Is that a word, uncomfortability?
I just made it
okay.
One.
Okay. Well, it was really cool. And I think everyone's intention is heartfelt. But what I think we found is that I think it's a natural tendency for us that when we – here we have friends that think they're hearing from God and things like that. We think God is so big and there's so much that he's doing. Why would he possibly be speaking to me? I mean, how can my life be that important? And the cool thing is that it is. And so I think when you become sensitive and you go through these journeys and you become sensitive to his voice, whether it's a whisper or it's something louder than that, that we really tune into that and we encourage it. I'm all about encouraging each other, you know, in a positive way, but when God usually speaks to us, it's the uncomfortable way. And I think that if we can really focus on that and encourage each other down that uncomfortable path, and even though things may get awkward in the group or amongst friends, let it be awkward. Because like Gary Haugen spoke weeks ago about the visitor center, remember, what we know and what's comfortable is not where God wants us to be. He wants us to be more like Him, closer to Him, and the only way we're going to get there is to step outside of ourselves and take that path and that challenge.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, that's uncomfortable, but it's joy because you feel God speaking to you.
Yes.
Great. All right, we have some other things you want to speak to us because you're giving us some announcements. What do you have for us?
I do. New service times, which most of you already know by now. Saturday night service will stay the same at 5:30, and Sundays will now be changing to 8:45, 10:30, and 12:30. So pass that on to your friends. Also, community groups are really huge around here, and we're not just about coming in on the weekends and sitting in these seats. We're about just deeper relationships, more authentic relationships that we all desire. And a way to do that is to get involved with the tons of community groups going on here. They cover all demographics. They meet every night of the week. And if you got one of these when you came in on the tables, that's great. If you didn't, you can grab one on the way out, or you can visit the kiosk, or you can always go online to crossroads.net/cgroups. One last opportunity for volunteering. If you want another opportunity to volunteer, you can serve in helping out with these community groups. And today, there'll be an open house at 2 o'clock. So if you want to check that out, that'd be great.
Great, great. Well, thanks for being with us. And next time we'll come up, hopefully you're done with your clothing fast, so you can have a cigar a scarf that isn't so ugly, because that's really bad.
Yeah.
All right, so thanks,
you know,
Suzanne.
Wait, I have one more thing to do. But first, let me just tell you, if he's putting down my scarf, that's a compliment, because there is no sense of style there. So, thank you very much. Anyways, at this time is when we do an offering. And
I'm going to let you have the last word this time.
Yes, I'm going to try every service. So this is the time that if you are new here at Crossroads, we ask that you just let the bag pass by. We're not about your money here, and get another cup of coffee, sit back and relax. This is an opportunity that those of us who call Crossroads home give back to all the unbelievable things going on here, which you've heard on the screens and that Brian has talked about. So thank you very much.
When he was preaching a couple Sundays ago about debt, he came on the stage and said, turn to the person next to you and tell them how much debt you have. Well, the only person sitting next to me was my husband. I wasn't going to tell him. I didn't want it to be out loud. All through the service, my husband kept leaning over going, well, if it's not this amount, is it this amount? And I kept going, sure, okay. So Chuck kept preaching. The madder I got up and walked out of the service because I just couldn't listen to it anymore. I wasn't angry with Chuck. I was angry with the message. You know, God was speaking through Chuck to me. So on the way home, I wasn't talking to my husband or anything, and I just got angry, and I started crying, and he's like, what's up with you? And I'm like, I just don't want to discuss it. He's like, well, you know, this is ridiculous. We can work through this together and everything. But after 19 years of marriage, you know, we hadn't sat down at that point. So I figured, well, what's the point now? I ended up walking out. I got in my car, and I drove down the street, and God spoke to me. And he said, Kelly, stop the car, turn around, and go back home. You have got to work this out. So I turned around, I went back home, I called inside the house, I told Dave to come on out, and we sat in the car, and we got loud, we got angry, we got mean, we cried. And then all of a sudden, there was peace. Because we both said, well, let's go back in. Let's take the checkbook, let's go line by line, and see where the money's going. We wrote down January. We went line by line through January. We did the same thing for February, and we came up with over $1,000 worth of extra money that was spent so frivolously, and we didn't even realize it. He ended up finding out how much debt it was. We made a list of all of our debts from the smallest to the largest, and so we agreed that we were going to start eliminating little by little each debt. We have been able to eliminate one debt already. And now we're working on the next one. And then the next one, and then we'll be done. This consume journey has made me see, you know, it's not about materialistic things. It's not about being consumed with clothes or cars or houses or whatever. It's about being consumed with God and being consumed with the fact that you can hear him when he speaks to you. Yesterday, when we were sitting down and we were looking at the bills and we were looking at the money, God really spoke to me. And he said, now's the time. And for the very first time in 19 years, I actually wrote out a check for 10%. I get upset because it's a joyful upset. I know the Lord's working through Crossroads to speak to me, something that should have been happening years ago. My husband and I have a terrific relationship. Every other aspect of our relationship is just wonderful, except when it came to money. And I was always afraid of disappointing him. I really do think this whole journey has brought us closer together because we have been so open and honest about everything. You know, going through the book, this journey has totally turned me around. And I still have a long way to go. We want to be able to be generous to others that are less fortunate than us. And I think that with this journey, we are going to be able to accomplish that. I really do.
That's awesome. Hey, later on, we're going to use one of these. So later on, we're going to use this. So if you didn't get one of these, go out in the atrium and grab one. Also, you notice up here, we have a bunch of pieces of paper. A bunch of us declared ourselves weeks ago saying these are the things we feel God wants us to be consumed with. This is those kind of raw papers. And if you weren't here and you wanted to be involved with that because you're out in spring break or something, there's little pamphlets up here and also out in the atrium if you want to just kind of come up and place it there if you want to. That's there so you don't get left out. Psalm 119. Let's start this with the very first scripture verse we shared weeks and weeks and weeks ago. It says this: my soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. My soul is consumed. Consumed. Are we consumed with God or are we consumed with stuff? And is it at all times? At all times, ongoing. One of the things that we've learned is this is not a 6-week journey that you do it and it's done. The question of whether or not I'm consumed with God or consumed with something else is an everyday, ongoing thing. What is consuming me is a forever question. And just like I want to grow in my ability to pray, also growing in my ability to be consumed is an ongoing thing. It will never be completely and totally handled. One person who's starting to get consumed more and more is Holly. Everyone say hello to Holly up here. Holly wrote a song she's going to do in a moment. Her co-wrote it with her and Andrea. And you kind of got whacked, you said, about a year ago by God.
I did. I grew up going to like a Methodist church. I didn't really, I learned a lot about God, but I didn't learn a personal relationship. And I was so happy a year ago, actually, today, like this weekend, I sang for the first time here. And I remember Josh said, hey, if you can't sing this honestly, then, you know, don't sing it. And I was like, no, I mean it. And it was Invitation Fountain. And my life, like, that moment when I was singing it, well, it was 3 or 4 minutes I was singing it, God had hit me like lightning. And my life has just completely done a 180 since then. I've become this human sponge. I just want whatever he has for me. I'm just like, yes, yes, give it to me. And I'm really excited, like, anytime he has something for me to learn. So I started coming here a lot and singing here. And I actually just started working here, which I'm really excited about. And I went to a community group for CSM. And we had an experience where we had to just sit and listen for what God wanted to tell us. And one of the things that he told me, which has been really consuming me, is debt. And I wrote down, I was like, God, I'm hearing that you want me to strive for financial freedom this year. And I was like, all right, okay, cool, I'll do that. So please just bless the path before me. And I didn't really know, like, about the consume journey yet. And so I found out about that. I was like, sweet, yeah, I'm excited. Whatever they want to teach me about this, I'm excited. And then we got a staff email from like the pictures that we took, or that we took here and we sent to Africa. And the lady was praying over Crescenda. And I was sitting at my desk and I just started bawling because I was like, wow. And that picture, that is me. Like, that girl is me. And so God is already putting, like, people praying for me. He's already blessing my path in this. So I was really excited about that because growing up, like, the philosophy that was taught to me was like, hey, you're always going to have bills, so just enjoy your life and don't worry about it. And the part about not worrying is really good, but the part about, you know, just me feeling like I can be irresponsible with it was not good. So then, so I'm going through this journey, and I'm like, hey, what tithing, that's something new that I've learned. Okay, God, I want to do this because, like, before I even knew him, he was so generous to me. He gave me a free car because my cash car broke down. And he gave me a free car by a fan, just a stranger, and a free guitar because I didn't really have one that was good enough to play out with, and that's what I love to do. And all my furniture, well, 95% of it gave me just – from, like, through friends and boyfriends and,
They gave it to you or you confiscated it?
No, they gave it to me when they moved and they needed to, you know, shrink down and say, here, I have stuff I need to get rid of, so you take it. And actually, I actually like it, so it's good. I got artsy furniture that I like, so I'm excited. So, again, through this journey, so I'm, like, learning all this stuff just about how God, like, he thinks I'm special, and he's been so generous to me and, like, wooing me. And then I finally found him, and now I have this personal relationship with him. And I'm learning that, you know, the things that I didn't have growing up, like, that stuff doesn't matter. The thing that matters is that God is speaking to me, and he just thinks I'm precious. And he wants to walk with me and love on me. And so what I've been learning to treasure is just that, just having that personal relationship with him. And I'm just so excited that, you know, I've been writing stuff that with people here as well, just about what God's showing us. So we'd like to share this treasure song with you. And it's like, it's about this year, right now, I'm confessing God. I'm not going to hold treasure over things that are just going to fall apart. I'm going to treasure the things that are for eternity, and I'm just going to treasure my relationship with you, and I'm not going to worry about my life because you've got me. I'm your daughter, we're your children, and you have us.
Hey, a little curveball for guys in the video booth back there. Bill and Todd, if you guys, I think I want to show that picture that she referred to with Crescenda. It was on week two. If you can find that off the old computer file, that'd be awesome. If you can't, that's cool. If you're not good enough, that's okay. You know, other things that we've learned around here, one thing that we've learned is that economic diversity brings rich insights. Economic diversity brings rich insights. I mean, it's been a challenge for us as communicators to talk with folks who are all over the map. There is a level of diversity here that I've never experienced anywhere. And I'm talking about economic diversity. Think about this for a minute. Where you live, everybody in your neighborhood, is it about the same economic strata? Whatever. Wherever you go to school or your kids go to school, the same economic bandwidth, who you're hanging out with. If you're part of a country club, where you are, everyone have the same economic bandwidth. If every once in a while you're hungry and you don't have enough to eat and so you got to go to a soup kitchen, probably all the people you hang out with are probably of the same economic stratus. That's just what happens in our society. We trend to be around people who are exactly where we are economically. And when that happens, we're missing the kingdom of God. We're missing the full family of God. If you have plenty of money, but you're never around somebody who every once in a while is hungry, then you don't really see all of God, because Jesus was regularly around people who had major physical needs, massive needs. And at the same time, if you're somebody who is hungry every once in a while, but you're never around somebody who maybe has two houses or who never has to worry about their Duke energy bill, then at the same time, you're missing something about God, because You're not seeing that God has so much. He has so much abundance that he never has needs. And if you're never around people who never have needs, there's a piece of the character of God that you're missing. That's one of the beautiful things that we have here in our church. Every church I've been a part of, up to this time, it's always been the same economic bandwidth, no matter where it was. Always. And here we are all over the map, and we're finding out that we can learn about God by interacting with people who are in a different place than us economically, not above us economically or below us economically, just different. And actually, the core issue is the same with all of us. It's contentment. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5, it talks about contentment when it says this: keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Contentment and keeping free of the love of money transcends economic status. It's something we all deal with all the time. CityLink went through. Did you see that recently? Yeah. Awesome. 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 There's no more legal fights. There's no more legal fights that can happen to stop that. The Ohio Supreme Court refused to listen to it and deal with it. So we have a long way to go on this effort that we have, along with a bunch of other churches and other organizations, to be a blessing to people in poverty. And the whole idea of it is linking up people with different economic places. Volunteers who aren't in poverty, linking up with people who may be in poverty, and establishing relationship that goes beyond mere physical relief and ends up in ultimate life change. And we're excited about this. Just came through us last week. It's almost like God is timing this. Sends us and others in the city through this consumed journey. And at the end, God says, okay, I'm going to deliver this up to you. Boom. Amazing. I see the hand of God in that. And we're just thankful for that. That's awesome. You can clap again. It's just so fun. So fun. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But let's take a look at a couple of people's story here.
You look at the prayer experience, and you went into that first station where the fire was. The things that came up to me were from God. It's not things that I thought of on my own. When my relationship wasn't looking from the standpoint of spiritual, I thought a lot about life on my own terms. What I would do with my money, which now in relationship with God, it's not mine. At one point in my life, who I was all about what I had. All physical, all visual. And I'm finding out now that it was all empty. In one way, the consumption of the world is being dissipating from me. In another way, my consumption with God is growing. I've never had anything like this. This relationship is something that I have read about in the Bible with my intellect. I'm having the privilege of it being a living word.
I knew that there was a possibility at work that I would be eligible to win possibly some extra money for some incentive contests. Didn't know how much or if I would win. And so I just said to God, whatever I get, God, during this consumed journey outside of my normal pay scale that I would get, I will give away and I will bless somebody else. That following week, I found out that I had won almost $300. Then I found out I actually won a second incentive. I actually was pretty pumped up about winning, and I went right to Yamaha Motorsports website and started looking for a new wetsuit that would match my Wave Runner and how cool that would be. And I'm fishing through and I'm just so excited about it. And then I just felt this little thing inside me, like this little twins go, oh, I'm giving this away. It was not new to me to think that, hey, if I won that money, I consider that still something that I would tithe on, and I would give away that tithe back to Crossroads. That part was not new. The feeling and thought of giving 100% of it away to bless someone, that was new. And went home and talked to my wife, Lori, and we had a great conversation about it. And we had just a few different options that we were going to do. And I was able to give that back joyfully. And it felt awesome. In your heart, the feeling that you get from knowing that you're free to give it away and that God loves you so much that it will come back to you somehow, maybe not monetarily, but somewhere, you're going to get that reward of just feeling like you're releasing love, and the love is just the money.
Awesome. Now, if we go way, way back, revisiting where we came from, this journey actually starts back in around May. We had seen, in discussion with our senior leadership, our board of spiritual directors here, we had seen some massive things that were coming on the horizon that we felt like we needed to get behind. Significant stuff with CityLink, more significant stuff with sex slavery, child sex slavery over in India, different sites of Crossroads that pop up all around the region, a variety of other things. And so it seemed like the answer was to do a 3-year campaign, people giving above and beyond what they regularly give. We've done that twice before. And so I was getting ready to do that, getting ready going into my study break this last summer to gear up for that. We were all saying, yeah, that's probably what we need to do. And then in a meeting, it was actually a very annoying meeting, but it was God speaking in the meeting, Josh, our strange-looking drummer back there, Josh, said something that was absolutely... See, people clapping about that, yeah. They actually like you. They do. Said something that was like a speck of sand in my brain that actually turned into the pearl of the consume journey. Take us back to there, Josh.
In case everyone didn't know, Brian's love language is insult and ridicule. So video team, you are good enough. And your scarf is awesome. Again, I'm fired.
I have problems, I will admit. I have major problems.
You're a wonderful man. I take that all back. When I first heard about the building campaign thing, I was a little frustrated by it, because what I observe about you people is that, because I do, I sit up every weekend and watch you. What I observe about you is that you guys, we are all really good at sort of getting behind things and like, yeah, we're going to care for people dying of AIDS in Africa. Yeah, we get behind that. And it occurred to me that is the thing we are good at. But what also occurred to me is that you all, myself included, all of us, we're in this bondage ourselves. And we're in this bondage to the idea that I am because I have, or I am because I don't have. And I know because I know God, the most important thing to Him is your freedom. That's it. Your freedom is the most important. And when you are free, you free others. You know, sort of works that way. When you get love, you give love. However the song goes. And I really felt like the most important thing for us was to not be challenged to, you know, tighten our belts and buckle down and give and give. It was to be free. And I have to tell you that I'm going to change the world. That's not a joke, people. Laughers? Just laughing? I am. I'm going to change the world. I'm going to change the world because I have freedom. It's not because I'm spectacularly wonderful, though. Or I'm tremendously good looking, though. None of those things. It's because I've understood freedom. I have. I know freedom. So the most important thing, for us was to be freed. And then we will free. So I was really excited to know that we were going in this journey and we were going to come right up against what the world says is most important. And the world would say to you that you are because you have, or you are because you don't have. And I just want to say, as an encouragement to all of you, I am challenged and I'm in awe by what I see you people do and what I see you accomplish. I'm paid to be here. I'm pretty sure I would be here even if I wasn't paid to be here, for those of you listening that signed my paycheck. But you give and you give and you give and you sacrifice, and it challenges me and it moves me and it makes me want to delve even more to this lifestyle of generosity, because that's what we're getting to. It's not just about you coming in and giving your tithe every week or giving, you know, to the fellow on the corner, though all those things are good, it's about realizing that a lifestyle of generosity is where you need to go. So you need to know for me that as much as I can, because there's so many of you, I'm praying for you. And I'm blessed by you and I'm encouraged. So.
So when Josh said that, we just realized, you know, maybe we'll do a campaign someday. Oh, we'll come back to that. Not yet. Take that away. Thank you. You are good enough, obviously. Yes, you are. You do. We'll come back to that in a moment. Thank you. We realized, hey, campaigns aren't bad. Maybe we'll do one of those sometime. But we need holistic lifestyle change, not a burden of a three-year thing. Just holistic forever, ongoing. And if we do that, God's going to be able to free us up to do things that we need to do. When Josh talked about change the world, sometimes that might mean being known in South Africa by the senior-most levels of the government, or it might mean bringing people around here to Christ. That might mean Suzanne was up here, Michael's over there. God used our place to bring them into faith with him. Holly talked a bit about that as well. I just see another old friend of mine over here whose wife came up to my wife last night and said, you know, this place has really changed us in many ways. It's changed the world because they wanted to adopt. And they didn't want to adopt a white baby, and they didn't want to adopt a black baby, and they didn't want to adopt a baby from another country. They wanted to adopt a disfigured baby from another country as a sign of how God is generous. And they said, we came to see and love people who some would view as discards and have adopted in the family. And it's because of how God has worked in us through being a part of this community. That's the kind of stuff that no one knows about, that happens in all of our individual lives when God starts consuming us and getting us. And what God is not wanting is to give us more information. That's the other thing we've learned, is that spiritual formation is not information. It's not intention. It's action. People say, man, I need some more meat. I need some more. What does that mean? I need more meat. What does that mean? Most of the time people think that I need more. I need to hear something I've never heard before when I come to church in order to grow. That is just ridiculous. Most of us should never learn another thing for the rest of our life. You should try doing what you already know for a change. And when we actually do that, something powerful happens. This is what it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 5. It says this. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food, meat, is for the mature. And who are the mature? Those who constantly use and have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. The hard stuff, the meat, is the stuff that we do. It's not the new stuff that we've never done and that we've never heard before. And what we've learned here, we're full of a community of people who act, that go forward, that make things happen. Let's put that thing up with Crescenda, who I don't even know her, but you can see her on the photo here. Look at this thing right here. You know, these folks, our partners in South Africa, acted. They acted. They grow. They act. They prayed on us. You know the amazing thing about this? Bill Gates could never have made this happen. No amount of money could make. Bill Gates would have had to pay 1,000 people a salary for 5 years ongoing to build genuine friendships over there. There's genuine friendships that have come together where those folks have changed us because of their prayers. Every breakthrough we've had in here is because somebody over there has been praying for us, and your picture was on somebody's wall over there. It's amazing. And because of that, we're doing great financially right now and able to do things. March has been our largest giving month since ever, other than December of last year. We, for the last several years, on average, we have 2 weeks of operating capital. We have more than that now. And so therefore, we've told the CityLink board, hey, we need to get an executive director that's going to start pushing that thing forward. Crossroads will pay for that. Go find that right person. We're going to pay for that thing and make that happen. Isn't that awesome? We're wanting to start different sites to reach different people all over the region who won't drive here to Oakley. The next two sites we're looking at is one in a prison and one in Mason. Prison, Mason. It'll be separate sites of Crossroads. Now, the one in the prison, it won't have Kids Club in that site. It'll just have it'll have some sort of video feed, but there'll be inmates that are kind of connecting and being challenged. If it goes through, we have a meeting coming up with a warden of that institution, being challenged and being part of us. And then there will also be one in Mason that we're working to start. That's why we have Robbie here. Everyone say hello to Robbie Ryder right here. Andrea is still with us, but we starting these different sites and also starting a Wednesday night service once a month. We're going to re-go back to that. It's called It's going to be the last Wednesday of every month, and we're calling it Last Wednesdays. Why is it called Last Wednesdays? Because it's on the last Wednesday. When is that? Last Wednesday. So we're going to have additional music needs there. And Robbie's coming up. And as a result of where we are financially, we're able to build into our infrastructure. Robbie, it's great having you with us. What do you want to say?
Well, it's awesome to get to be here. I was, you know, this whole consume journey that you guys have been on, I've been watching it from a distance. You know, Josh and I have been talking for, you know, months and months, and so I, you know, I tune in, you know, and download the messages and watch the videos and, you know, look for stuff on YouTube and, you know, just to know what's going on, because I feel like I'm watching the radar, you know, and watching this giant storm form over another part of the country, and I see it from a distance, and I know that storm is changing the topography of that region. You know, like you got dumped on a couple weeks ago with snow. Did you not?
Yeah. Yes, we did, yes.
Okay. That's what, 'cause I thought, oh, you know, being in Houston, Texas, you know, I'm like, man, snow would be so cool. No, but that's what this whole consume journey, you know, I see the effects of it in friends I talk to, and they say, yeah, man, it's huge. I'm different. My group is, you know, so to be here and to be a part of this, I just feel like I'm joining the storm, you know, and I'm joining the storm that's going to change the layout of this, not only this city, but you know, of the world. I think, you know, Josh saying, I'm going to change the world. Like, that's something like, I want in on that. You know? That's all I got.
Great having you with us, Robbie. Can't wait to have more of you. Last thing that I want us to remember that we've learned is we've learned that God's moved and his people step up. God has moved here and his people, we have stepped up. And it hasn't just been in offerings and that stuff. It's tactile things. One of my more inspirational stories is a friend of mine who hosted a group, found them all, everybody on the internet. They all came together. And first week he talks about this couple that that looked like they had it all going on, had a expensive rental, brand new cars, weren't on clothing fast for a while. They just all looked just great. And the first week they looked great. Second week they actually shared some of their stresses and financial stuff that wasn't as good as they looked. And then the third week they were challenged to actually move in with this couple and save some money, pay off some debt, maybe save for some down payment. Fourth week they actually decided and committed to do that. We'll move into your basements. And then other people in the group said, hey, if you're going to move in the basement, our generosity challenge will be, we'll put a bathroom down there. We'll pay for the bathroom down there. And then somebody else in the group said, you know what? I'm actually not doing that well either. Can I live upstairs? And so this couple that has a baby on the way now is going to be housing somebody in their basement while they get their feet under them financially, and somebody upstairs. And my friend said to me, he said, I'm tired of learning about what it means to follow Christ. I want to follow Christ. And the humility involved with that, and how people around here are stepping up in ways that will never be eased by how good you are, how gracious you are, and how you cause people to rise up. Rise up. People who do things that never get mentioned. Like up here, my friend in the front row, Anna, who just builds into the less fortunate. Thank you for all the stories that happen in the homes and the businesses and the schools represented in this building right now, of people who rise up and step up because they're sensing you. It's an honor to be here. Take out your little bag if you got one, if you'd like. Actually, this is not going to be appropriate for all of us in here. What we're going to do right now is we're going to have what's been called the Lord's Supper. It's been called communion. It's been called the Mass. It's been called Eucharist. And it's for people who want to be consumed by Jesus and want to consume Jesus. This is only the second time we've ever done this on the weekend here at Crossroads. It's because we know we have such a high percentage of people who are in here who are in seeking mode, not sure that you're ready to receive Jesus, which is exactly why we started the church. It's why Crossroads exists. Crossroads doesn't exist for South Africa, doesn't exist for Mumbai, it doesn't exist for all the other things that we do that are important. The primary mission we do is reach out to our friends who have given up on church but haven't necessarily given up on God. And if I were to invite somebody over to my house who I knew shouldn't have peas, guess what? I wouldn't serve peas. That's why we rarely do this on the weekends. But right now we're going to do this. And you can be a person of integrity and not do this. Or maybe you're a person of integrity and you're saying, this is how I want to receive Christ right now. And this is an ancient thing that ties back to the time of Jesus when he does this with his friends in the book of Mark. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, he said to them. Today we tend to only do these things when we're in religious settings. This is not what Jesus intended. Jesus never intended, every time you come together for some official worship service in a building, have some little things that people eat and nibble. He never intended that. Actually, the early followers of Christ, it wasn't hundreds of years later until that started. And that's not a bad idea doing, but it's not the main thing Jesus was trying to say. He was trying to say is, every time you come together for a meal anywhere, and you're with other people who have been consumed by me and who received my grace and received my love, just remember how I broke my body for you, how I spilled my blood for you. And when you eat things, remember that. So in here what we have is we have saltine crackers. If Jesus had saltine crackers, he would have made that point with saltine crackers, as it was he had bread. He had bread and he had wine. We have saltine crackers and juice. If you want wine, you can come to last Wednesdays. But we have right now juice and crackers. You know, if Jesus really, if he was having pizza and beer, he would have broken the pizza and had the beer and said, this is what it is. Really. If he was having quiche, well, he wouldn't have had quiche, but if he was having scrambled eggs and coffee, he would have said, just as you consume this, remember how I've broken myself for you and I'm consuming you. So for all those who want to consume and be consumed by God, just take and eat. Remember the love that Jesus has had for you. God, you are enough. You are enough. And we remind ourselves of this. We say it again, God, you're enough. You're enough. Anything more that we think that we need is part of our spiritual problem. We have enough if we have you, and we're thankful for it. And we want to be continually consumed by you and consuming your truth, consuming your grace, consuming your forgiveness. You're great. And therefore, you make your people great. You know, this journey wasn't just with us. Last year we opened up to other churches and we had 11 other churches be a part of it. This year there was 40 some other churches that were a part of this all over the region, doing the exact same thing that we did at the exact same time. And next year we'd love to have hundreds who are just in one team, you know, one team part of the kingdom. And so as we leave here today and we reflect on the joy, we'll take a look at some of those folks that have been up there, who have some of the other churches, their names. And when you leave, do not consume these. Recycle these. Drop these in the bins when you leave. We'll see you.